You're listening to A Stranger Podcast, www.thestranger.com.
Hi, this is Jen Graves, and you're listening to Invisible, The Stranger's Weekly Conversation with People in Art. I'm here with Jeff McFetridge. We are at the Olympic Sculpture Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
And if you hear noise in the background, it's because there's work ongoing on your project. Does it have a title?
Yeah, it kind of does. It has a title that's in the mind. I guess it's in the mind.
In the mind.
Yeah. But it's kind of created, like, the title is supposed to always appear in the same way, so it just looks like the mind, and then in is a different color of, like, M-I-N-D, so the in. So I don't want to say it. It's not good.
Right. It's not a verbal title.
Yeah. I wanted it to be only as the logo. So, like, when I tried to get him to type it on the website, that in was always just green. It just said the mind, and then change the color of the in and just see what happens, if it's possible to do that. It's kind of like Prince changing his name to the shape.
Right.
A similar problem.
Right. Huge problem.
Yeah.
So, uh-oh. You are from Calgary, and then let's talk a little bit about your background while all this noise is going on. And you then went to school in Alberta.
Yeah,
right?
I went to the Alberta College of Art for 4 years, and then went.
What'd you study there?
Well, when I was there, it was called visual communication.
Mm-hmm. So graphic design.
Yeah. Now they call it graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't. Now they have, like, the program has switched to being graphic design or illustration, and you choose a major. Mm-hmm. But when I was there, it was interesting. It was called, basically, we walked through two big doors, and they said commercial art on them. And you walked through the door, and it separated you from the rest of the school. And you went upstairs, and you did. But the program was called visual communications, but I think at one point it was called commercial art. Mm-hmm. So we learned how to draw and do graphics and illustration and make roughs and all this, like, very traditional, like, real traditional. And I was lucky because I was, like, the last. I think I was maybe the last year. In my third year, the computer arrived. We had a computer lab at school, so it was kind of the beginning of the end. But I got to have a real traditional, like, commercial art training, which really suited me because I liked to draw, but I was interested in graphics. And I wanted to do graphics. So,
And then CalArts was a completely different program.
Yeah, and then the idea was to go to... I actually got a scholarship to go to SVA for illustration, and but didn't want to go to New York, and really wanted... Even though I was a much better illustrator, I wanted to... I saw the work coming out of CalArts and out of Cranbrook at the time, and I was really impressed and really intrigued. So, yeah, I went to CalArts and did the master's program there directly from my undergraduate, which was like night and day.
Mm.
So you go from, like, commercial art to, like, this super intellectual design program that was, I think it was well suited to me because it was, like, basically it's like assignment-based. It's not like a grad program where you just do a thesis project. Like, you go and they give you assignments and they teach you this this kind of, like, critical method of being a graphic designer.
Conceptual graphics.
Yeah.
Right?
So they kind of, you start kind of from scratch. Like, you show up, and a lot of people were people who were coming from a practice where they were already working as designers. As designers, and then like, learning a new way to work. And so I was just learning a new way to work, but it was just I didn't have a way to work before, so I was starting from scratch, which is the same though, because everyone was starting from scratch. I just didn't have something to draw upon before it, so it's kind of a nice way to learn, I think.
It's also kind of a good entree to becoming, like, a person who works in graphic design and the art world.
Yeah.
Sort of this background.
Yeah. Well, at the time, there was a kind of... It was still being formulated. Like, there was people like Ed Fella and Jeff Keady and Lorraine Wild, and Ed Fella ran the program. And there were people coming out of the program who were kind of doing work, and their way of kind of being like, we're making art, but it's design, kind of, to some degree, where they were making design work that was really personal and not client-based, but they were kind of like, it wasn't nobody really knew the answer. So what was happening was there people were making that work that happened in the 90s that was really ugly, like that layered stuff that. So it was basically they were going like, okay, what if I did text you can't read, and what if I took this layout and made it garbled, so that my as an art director, I'm garbling this because that's my statement about what's being said. And so that was, but like the intentions were really good. Like at Cowards, you're like, oh, like you totally see the intentions. And I think, but like I remember going to like Taco Bell, like at the time of being at CalArts, and it was like, oh my god, and it was CalArts stuff. While I was at CalArts, it was like garbled, like junky, crazy type.
At Taco Bell.
Yeah, okay. At Taco Bell. So even already, like clearly, like the ship had sailed, you know. So, like, this is like 93, 94, and it had already sailed. And then so like I never intended to. So I never making, but the so I always. The process and the kind of the critique and the way people talked about making that work at school was awesome. I just never liked the work, and I didn't like my work that I was making, but it didn't matter because I was just there and I was just kind of listening and kind of challenging myself to just do different things. Like I'd already been, as like a, you know, basically a teenager, I was doing work, doing graphics. But I just knew that I didn't want to keep doing it in that way, so I was just looking for a new way to work. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, what I kind of came up with outside of, like, once I graduated and started working and kind of went out into the world, and a few years later, like, I ended up at this place where I found myself, and I think it took up me, and not intentionally, but, like, years later, I realized, oh, this is my answer to those same questions that CalArts people were asking about. And it just turned out it didn't look anything like the stuff they were talking about, which of course, like, it doesn't, like one of the posters I've tried to make 1,000 times is like a poster, like a piano doesn't look like a song, you know? Like a piano doesn't look like it would be, like a piano's a crazy shape. It doesn't look like it would make beautiful music or be functional, or it looks complicated and ugly and like a crazy piece of furniture, and like it looks like a contraption, you know. Mm-hmm. But like we think like pianos are beautiful. People put them in their houses and don't even play them, you know.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the same thing. Like you never know the answer to what the question is. So for me, like those same at CalArts, those questions and those and that way of working equals what I do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's very that process like ended up where I am kind of and in the work I do.
In this park, it makes a certain amount of visual sense because there are really plain links with modernism here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your work is really clean. Mm-hmm. It can be seen as fairly abstract. There's one of my favorite pieces that you have is the one and the text is boxes, the concentric boxes, concentric rectangles, and
oh, yeah.
Support responsible abstraction.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you think about, you know, when you were going to work here, when you got this commission, did you come and look at the park? Did you think about, because this park obviously goes past modernism, but it's really rooted in modernist work.
Yeah,
you have the Calder, and you have the De Subro stuff.
Well, and also, like, it's like this building is like a grid, but then they've gone, like, let's tweak it. You know, like, it's clearly, like, what made it difficult to build this building was, like, weird, like, make it, like, an angle.
Yeah.
Like, how do we make this grid disappear into an angle? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, like, basically, like, modernism. The pause, the lift, while art is being made. without me. They actually made this whole thing for me with that lip. So, like, I guess it's the same. And it's funny, like, that poster, which I made, like, in 2001, like, I'm still doing, like, this is responsible abstraction. Like, as much as it's, like, a joke, it's, like, it's kind of serious. Like, because, like, concentric, like, I made it, like, concentric rectangles, right? So it looks like a trippy shape. So,
And they're hand-drawn.
Yeah,
they're not precise.
Yeah, they're not precise. So it's like a doodle. Basically, So it's like everybody draws doodles. So it's kind of like abstraction for every person, and it's kind of fun. So that's like responsive. Like, it's not like challenging you. Like, it's abstraction that's not challenging, you know? And so it's like giving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
communicating.
Yeah, it's communicating. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, that's communicating less. I think these things are communicating more. They're like abstract, but then they have like a punchline, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's like kind of right. Responsible abstraction.
The kind that doesn't hold back from you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I guess, and I think this pavilion is the same. You know, it's like, it's really nice in here. Mm-hmm. It's nice all day. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've been working here for like a week, and the sun is good. It doesn't get too hot. The bathrooms are really nice. You know, like, it's really nice. Like, it's really, mm-hmm. They didn't stop, which is so obvious when things... I think everyone's aware when they're being challenged or they're being messed with,
mm-hmm.
You know? Like, so I always believe in that. Like, if I'm going to mess with somebody, it's like, it's, I guess it's, you're messing them and then you kind of give them, at least you give them something at the end. You don't just mess with them, you know? Or better yet, like, you kind of don't really mess with them, and it's like kind of up to them to be messed with. Like, if you dive into the piece, or if you want to look at something closely,
mm-hmm.
you can get involved in it. You know, there's something there, but then it's not totally like grabbing you. You know?
Right.
Like, I've said the anecdote before, but I did a campaign once and read on somebody's blog, like, I don't know actually, now I don't really remember the story, but I always imagine they did a whole billboard campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Now I always imagine, like, man, what if you lived in an apartment? And someone hung my billboard outside your window,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so you want to feel like you gave them something good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like most billboards, it's like the end of the message is just like, buy this, you know? So most of the stuff I do, I really try to have it be that there's something else. There's like a subtext there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that, like, I think there's things that people can take on as their own,
mm-hmm.
You know, and feel that it's like communication,
mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a connection, that somebody made that, they're saying this, mm-hmm. So that you have a connection rather than this very, most, I think a lot of times graphics are used to, like, really obscure, like, the human being, you know, that behind it, obscure the wrap a corporation up in a bunch of stuff, you know, associate a corporation with 10 things
mm-hmm.
that are sent as, like, 10 little messages. Whereas, like, I think with saying one thing from one person is a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a way that your work, it reminds me of just basic sort of linguistic study of signs, you know,
yeah.
And sort of like the idea of there being a thing that stands for something that then kind of gets turned and stands for something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the turning that is what you're giving, you know. And so I wanted to ask you about the relationship with sculpture and kind of the you know, doing flat work versus doing three-dimensional work.
Uh-huh.
And how was it working in a sculpture park as opposed to working on, you know, working in a book or working, you know, because you have published several books where, you know, your work is on, it's super flat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And these works here, there's a bicycle that kind of transforms into a horn, and a person.
Yeah.
and but it's also made in this like very flat matte color.
Yeah.
That clearly is sort of, you know, is something that's totally graphic, and it's on this is this large white sheet. That it looks like a piece of paper that is tacked with these two gigantic tacks to the wall. So it's this, you know, and it moves between being, it also looks at the top kind of like a paper clip, you know, it moves between being flat and being three-dimensional. It's not, it's kind of not one or the other, and when you, it depends where you're looking at it from.
Yeah.
But it's giving you all these different kinds of cues about how to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what, it's, like, so amazing. Like, when I do, I think it's from doing my first show, I think you take these little leads, but, like, the first thing I learned in a show is, oh, like, you I mean, I learned certain, there's just these certain things you learn as you, like I started my first show maybe in 2000, like around 2000, and then they slowly, like you slowly expand on your vocabulary and you just learn by doing shows. And so the first thing I learned was, oh, if I have like, let's say, two images or text and image, in a show, like in a book, you just lay them out. Or on a poster, you find a nice place for them to look right and read well and what reads first. And then in a show, you can be like, oh, I can put the text across the room and have the image on the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, like these simple epiphanies, you know, like simple stuff. And then it was like, I was drawing something. And I was like, how do I make a graphic of this, let's say, like pushpin? Mm-hmm. I'm doing this. And then I realized, oh, I could actually have the thing. This is a show. Like it's in the real world.
The real thing.
Yeah, it's the real. I don't have to draw the thing, you know. And then so like basically like those principles are basically just what I work with, you know. So with sculpture, it's like you have like you say like from like these pieces, like all the stuff up here is kind of you can look at it from a different angle and see it differently, and then you can touch it. So the thing far away might be flat. And then there's these things coming down, and you can really get right up to them and see, like, it's made of plywood. It's painted. The line is like this, you know? Mm-hmm. So you get this kind of, like, macro experience of what the physicality of it. And then as you look at the piece from a distance, it does tricks. Like, oh, that's actually just painted on the wall. That's totally flat. And so, like, it starts toying with everyone's idea of, like, basically, what I was saying, like, there's a graphic of a tack and there's a real tack. But the real tack I just made, so it's not real. Mm-hmm. But in our heads, like, you can't not talk about it. Like, if I was saying, like, to someone working for me, like, grab the tack, no, the real tack, I put it on the wall. Like, just the words you use for things, it becomes real. And the way we talk about these boards that are painted, they're posters. You know, like, put that poster up, and then put that poster there. Like, which poster? The poster that's painted on the wall. Oh, that, oh, the one that's bent? Yeah, the one with the bent. So, like, all these things that we faked, they would, like, to us are real, you know?
Because you made posters. You made, well, posters.
Yeah, they're posters.
They're
yeah.
quote-unquote posters, where they look like they're hung with blue tape, you know,
yeah.
blue painting tape yeah. or whatever. And they're actually pieces of plywood that are not hung with tape at all, but that are, you know, hung. And then they kind of,
They curl
out
the wall,
at the bottom.
As if they were papered so that they
that you just unrolled.
Yeah, like they were in a roll too long and
right.
they are curled out.
And eventually they'll lie down.
Yeah, eventually they'll go flat, yeah. Yeah.
And then there's a tack, there's a circular tack, a pin-headed tack.
Yeah.
that reflects, just casts a shadow as though it were a square-headed tack
or a push-pin-headed tack.
But the reflection is obviously not a real reflection. There is a real reflection that sort of goes to either side, but it's a painted reflection of this fictional tack. You know, it's like a tack that has other ideas
yeah.
about itself.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's what I've done, like, a lot of stuff like that. Can I make you feel about a pin, you know? But it's kind of, like, sad, you know? Like I did one where, like, it's like a triangle turning into a square, and then, like, I was trying to come up with different, like, ways of, like, for me, that's just interesting, like, a triangle turning into a square, but what's interesting to me is, like, the way I view that is, like, and the text I was trying to come up with, like right now, I just put disappointment. Like, oh, that's such a bummer when a square turns into a triangle. You know, like, oh. Or, like I was thinking of different ways to say, like, life is full of, like, you never know life's disappointments. You know, like, you never know when something's going to kind of, like, let you down in life, you know? And so it's like a triangle. It isn't even a triangle. It's a square, you know, or a square turning into a triangle. Or like there's a poster piece that's going to be inside the room that says like it's a square casting the shadow of a circle, and it's basically the same as the pin. And then underneath the text says the saddest the saddest square, the saddest circle is a square. Mm-hmm. So, like, inside the square wants to be a circle and casting a shadow of a circle, but it's not.
It's like a trans geometric.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Trans geometric.
Pre-surgery.
Yeah. Pre-op. Yeah, it's like, I mean, that the... like, how can you use geometry or graphics to talk about, you know, I think graphics have, like, been long used to talk about, like, they're really good at talking about stuff like that. Like, you can use graphics to talk about really abstract mm-hmm. stuff, and then you have the benefit of, like, graphics are appealing, mm-hmm. which I've learned. Like, you can do a graphic, you can do 10 graphics, and there might be one that every single person who walks through the room goes like, ah, look, like, I like that one. And then so, like, you learn, like, what's appealing, and it's surprising what's appealing. Hmm. And usually what's appealing is that stuff that it's, like, this, some people are reading into these simple things a little emotional something or other, some little piece that reflects on them, mm-hmm. or reflects on you telling them something, or... So I think that often graphics are used, like you use graphics to talk about abstract stuff that's like, you know, like once again, like it's like companies need graphics to talk about this complicated stuff they're trying to explain to people about who they are, you know, and so how can I, you know, use graphics to talk about complicated things like who I am, you know, and keeping it based on that, like some... like, I'll have some thought. I'm not the most articulate person, and it might take me 1,000 words to explain some idea. But with graphics, you can really, like, point, form, kind of get to a point, you know, get to an idea, like, get to a feeling, mm-hmm. you know? And then especially, like, with a show, like, your original question was, you know, it's that much easier if you can have someone, like, walk through those feelings, mm-hmm. like walk through, like basically like step into the page, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what the installations kind of are. Like, it's just such a head start mm-hmm. that someone can really, like, if people can touch it or move through it physically, you know.
Even in a public work like this, is it pretty autobiographical?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I think it always is. I mean, because mm-hmm. I think it's always like,
I think there are kind of ideas. Will you talk about Montessori?
Uh-huh.
Because you have a daughter.
Yeah.
Frankly, I feel a little unequipped to look at that piece because I am not a parent, and I don't really know what Montessori really, like, means to
But that's
parents,
kind of the idea.
Okay.
But that is, like... parents, I mean, my daughter does go to Montessori school, so I think that's important to add. But that was the kind of the idea. Like, I had... like, that is... like when I do graphics, like, I'll do version. Mm-hmm. So... it was like the guy with the big ball head. And then I did one where the guy with the big ball head was leaning over, like it was really heavy, but then it was connected, then there was like this little girl and her head, they shared the same head, you know? So they were sharing an idea or a feeling. And then, but it didn't really work, like it didn't look right. It just didn't read that way. And so then I redrew it, bigger, smaller. And then I did like, oh, what if he was blowing up the girl's head, and she was kind of like her hands kind of up, like, ouch, like, and her head is, he's blowing her head up like a balloon, you mm-hmm. know, and then I was like, Montessori, because I really like her school, but I didn't, and so for me, I wanted to put Montessori, because I can live with that, mm-hmm. I can live with how I feel about Montessori, and I really like her school. And then I like that it's totally personal. Mm-hmm. I like that when my wife walks into my studio, she goes, ha! You know, like, that's funny. And I like also that the school wouldn't like it. Like, if I gave that to them as a t-shirt, they'd be like, that's kind of creepy. You know, like, so it's kind of creepy. Like, you're filling these kids' heads with ideas, but it's the truth, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's kind of like, and you're blowing their head up, like, expecting too much of your kid, and the kid is kind of going, ouch, you know? There's a lot of things that go, like, so that's my process. But then, in reality, it's also like, nobody really knows what Montessori is. Not nobody, but like, so parents will come in, and they'll be like, because parents are like always talking about school, you know? Like, blah, 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 school. And they'll be like, oh, Montessori. But they might not know exactly what Montessori is, but the idea of Montessori, like, it's private education, right. that is structured, that is like a method to make your kids smart, to go to a good school and succeed in life and all this stuff. And I think, like, you know that. You don't have a kid, but you know, like, Montessori is some fancy educational thing.
Something you
like,
use to get your kid ahead.
Yeah, and it's like, is it Waldorf or Montessori or Mensa or whatever? You know, it's like a...
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just like a symbol, like a word becomes like a symbol.
Right.
You know, it stops. I mean, I think lots of parents like in Montessori don't even really know what Montessori is, and then every school that's Montessori is slightly different.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. It's this concept that has several iterations.
Yeah.
Platonic
versions
of it. You know, the thing I want to ask you about, in addition to this work in this kind of context, which is a fairly straightforward context, like this is an art context, it's a public context. And, you know, you seem to be able to, like, work in all kinds of contexts and still sort of survive. Like, there's something about something about what you're making that's still working.
Yeah.
And it's nomadic in that way. You've worked in film, have you worked in commercial?
Yeah, sure.
You work in fabric. There's wallpaper here by you.
Yeah.
You know, the probably the best known thing that people would have seen is the Virgin Suicides title.
Yeah.
Titles, but I mean, is there a context in which you feel uncomfortable?
Well, I mean, I started to direct live action,
mm-hmm.
and I am completely uncomfortable with that.
Really?
I did. I think I would do it again, mm-hmm. but not in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think working with a crew on a commercial, you know, I never liked it. I like a crew, like I had a crew doing this art installation, you know, but they're artists themselves and designers who know a lot about materials and who come in and problem solve. Whereas for me, like in Hollywood, working in film, like I'm not comfortable with these people who, are used to working the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just completely uncomfortable to them, you know? Like, so that was definitely something where I just kind of stopped doing it, based on the process, you know? Like, I liked doing film work, and I liked directing. And it was like a way of, I liked writing treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And like, kind of like writing out stories, but then you collaborate to like unfold on film, you
mm-hmm.
know? But then everything else about it, I hated.
Yeah.
So I just kind of stopped. You know.
Is there maybe this is a really obvious basic question, but are there products that you would not design for?
I think like...
Could you design McDonald's ad or cigarette
ads? No, I've turned down lots of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, someone just emailed me to do for a gin. Like, I want to see, I can't find your portfolio online. Will you send me your portfolio because I've got some project for gin?
Mm.
And I didn't.
Right.
You know, I didn't.
You don't like
back.
Gin, do you?
I don't like gin. I have no problem with gin, but I just don't. I don't see
right.
how I could do it.
Right.
You know. So, but I've done. Like, I got asked to do, and I was excited about it. Like, to work on some stuff for Subaru,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't happen. But I was like, I'll do like a car commercial, like a polluting car. You know. I don't know. But then I think it's like, but I would do it in my way, you know, mm-hmm. like I think I wouldn't, I think it's like you kind of go like, if I have something to add, I'm okay with it, you know, like if, like it's going to have a piece of me as part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't come up that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, only from Japan, because cigarette advertising I think in Japan is like, some of, maybe they're more progressive work or something, but like,
really?
It's very often that like, we've got a cigarette, and they ask you, like, would you be comfortable? And I say, no, I don't really do that, you know? But respectively, you know, because they're doing it, so you don't want to be like, no, I think that's wrong. Like,
right.
of course, like, sure, if it's cigarette ads, that's fine. Like, it's, people smoke, like, big deal, you know? But, it only comes from, that's never happened here.
Right.
Here, I think, it's a very closed world, you know? The people that are doing cigarettes and,
closed
and
style,
alcohol.
Too.
Yeah, it's all the same.
They don't need to do it. What about your relationship with the internet? You don't have much work on the internet.
Yeah, no.
Why not?
Well, I think it's... I mean, it's a very essential. One problem is, like, I like to have a lot of control of, like, how things kind of go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it to go too fast. I feel like the internet is not, at times, at least right now or for a long time, I feel like it's too fast for me. It just moves too, it's, when I put stuff out, the bounce back is too much for me to deal with. It's like, I can't reply to emails and I can't, there's only so many projects I can do. So right now I'm fine, you know? And I think it's, the thing I don't like about it is when people are frustrated because they want to see something and they can't.
Mm.
Like that's not the intention, you know?
Right.
My problem is like running a studio and doing very public work, there's a lot of time, you're trying to manage the kind of the world like knocking at your door a little bit. And so putting out too much work, just it's like there's no way to it not be the floodgates. Because like I'll put some stuff up and the bounce back will be so strong, and a lot of it's just like white noise just coming back at you, and you're trying to edit it, and you know, like, oh, like, because when people do email you about a project, you want to take it seriously, you take everything seriously, like, is this an opportunity? But you can't do it if there's too many of them, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of keep it down. And then I think from the start, I feel like everything you put on the internet, you have, it's like an agreement that it's public domain.
Copyable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that it's just, it's for everybody.
I thought that's what you meant when you talked about speed, because the amount of copying that just like,
quick,
so fast.
Yeah.
It, you end up on iteration 500 by the third day.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. It, absolutely.
You know, and like there's that kind of like you put something up and everybody's like, I saw that 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's old.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd rather. It's just there's no need because I plan to be doing this forever. So like if right now somebody doesn't know who I am, that's okay because I can maintain this.
Right.
So I just know, and I know that, and I know just because you put stuff up and you'll just see it right away. Someone will be doing like a bad copy of it. Almost like a challenge. Like if you put this up, then that's your challenge to me that I can't do it. But I'm telling you I can.
Right.
So like everyone's saying like I can do that too. And they might and they might just make some JPEG and put it up on their website for a half hour and then that's it, you know? But you feel kind of a little bit consumed, you know?
Yeah.
But
do you have a favorite sculpture in the park? Is it the Calder?
Yeah, the Calder.
Why?
Red. Is that too intellectual? Red and it looks like a bird. Got big bolts in it. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the winner. Like, if everybody got here at the same time,
right?
Everybody'd be like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, what? He's got the best spot.
It
was a group show, you know? Although the fountain I really like.
The
boy and the man.
Yeah.
I think that's really awesome.
Well, you have a piece that's not dissimilar from that, where the father is holding up his son.
Yeah, yeah.
They're sharing a head.
Yeah,
yeah.
Their head is connected. With
yeah. I was thinking of that piece when I was looking at it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's funny.
Yeah, no. So I love stuff that's, like, sincere and beautiful. Mm. You know, like, it's beautifully made, you know, and it's kind of bold that they're nude, and I think it's really nice. I mean, it's kind of the other end of the Calder, you know? Like, the Calder's beautiful because he's, like, a master of abstraction and, like, gives you, you know, he gives you more than you would expect in a sculpture that was red and giant and made of steel. You know, it gives you just that little bit more, and I love that. I love Claus Oldenburg, but it's less, I don't know.
Do you know what a typewriter eraser is?
Yeah, I do, but I played...
You were born in 71,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I know.
You do. I was born in 75, and I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but wow, it must have happened, you know, like...
I wonder why I know. I mean, I guess it depends if your parents had one or not. You
right.
Know? I mean, definitely, like, my dad would take me to his office, and they had, like, a whole room full of supplies.
Ah,
so
I see.
It was... Those things were fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. I don't... What's funny, like, I think everybody knows that wasn't his intention, was to confound you with an object.
No, it clearly was not. The opposite was
yeah.
his intention.
Yeah.
It ought to be a pencil.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
like,
yeah. There needs to be a little thing beside it, like, oh, by the way.
Yeah. So this work will be up for a year, and it opens essentially today, so people can see it at any point. Is there anything in particular that you want people to get out of it? The experience they have here?
I don't know. I mean,
What's your favorite kind of feedback? Love?
Favorite kind of, I guess it's like when people like just kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, feedback's nice. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm excited for people to see it. I don't know what kind of is the best kind of feedback.
You don't have to know. Okay. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.